our entire collective hard drive, which is stored on other people's computers. That's all the cloud is, just like putting files on other people's computers. When that goes away, Mark Long and his DVD library is going to be sitting real pretty, is he?
You laugh at that man, but one day his copy of The Fugitive on DVD will save civilization as we know it.
Yep, that's my guy, Mark Long, always prepared. By the way, the Wednesday crew...
director's commentary is what I'm saying.
The crew that settles into these Wednesdays, it's me, Israel, Clinton Yates with a C, and June Lee with a J. And so, you know, Charlie's gotten to calling us ICJ, which is a really kind of cool nickname. If the three of us kind of settled in, we would just be piss.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's probably why we're not on the show regularly, right? Well, together? Bad combination.
But then you realize that the logo, the whole colorway of Debatable does match that description. Mm-hmm. But we're like the part of the sign that you put on a football player's urinal that says you need to drink more water. We're that kind of piss, clearly.
Yes,
like
yes.
Way too solid.
I mean, I think
not quite like go get your kidneys checked out, but definitely more water.
I think if we do a PSI, that's pounds per square inch because, you know, we're putting the haters under pressure. That's what we're doing. With these takes.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah. Alabaster. See? Eat it, buddy.
Totally own there.
Yeah, you're our hater for the audience. Yeah, that's Alabaster. That's Spencer Hall. That's Israel Gutierrez. We are piss. Welcome.
You guys want to talk about the Lakers?
There
it is. Yeah.
There's enough people urinating on them. Why not?
Dogpiling that segue, Alabaster. Let's do it.
Awesome. All right. So the Lakers beat the Jazz last night. That's good. Anthony Davis got hurt again. That's bad. Mm-hmm. So our question, do you still believe in Anthony Davis and LeBron as a pairing to build a championship roster around?
So full disclosure here, this sentence could be, do you still believe in blank and LeBron as a pairing to build a championship roster around? And I'm probably going to opt into it, right? It's just a matter of like, do you have the third guy? And Anthony Davis in this case really needs a third guy. I feel real bad for him having to be the tent pole of an organization that has been crumbling around him because he himself is the guy who we all knew was going to crumble. Like, before anybody else, and here he is, missing at least 2 weeks with a right ankle sprain. Which, by the way, guys, did you watch that clip of the ankle sprain?
Did
you see it? Because it was, like, just, I mean, I know there are worse injuries, but this, in terms of gruesomeness, it just went like that. Yeah, like, exactly, like that. Yeah, so
yeah,
I feel very bad.
It was gross, and it's part of what's so confusing about it, because initially I was just like, oh, he was out for he's only out for a couple of weeks. He looked like he was out for a lot longer. He looked like he was in a lot of pain. I'm pretty sure I saw a stretcher, right? Come out like halfway onto the court. And it's just like, okay, either Anthony Davis has just more nerve endings than the rest of us and just can't handle pain very well, or this is like an odd sort of injury. Like, it seemed like it could have been a lot worse. I thought it was like Gordon Hayward possibility, but then it's just a couple of weeks and you start to say yourself, okay, well then you just start to knock Anthony Davis again and say, hey, he can't avoid these injuries, which, I mean, can we really say that? Like, avoiding injuries? He's flying in the air and landing on somebody's foot. It's hard to avoid. So I don't know where to go with this other than, man, like, Anthony Davis is one of the most unfortunate players in the history of the NBA and also injury prone, whatever that means.
Yeah, Spencer, we had like, I think maybe an hour of just thoughts and prayers. Mm-hmm. And now we're back to, well, this guy's a choker.
Well, I think you just get to the point of it's a fact of life when you're going to deal with them. That is a high performance machine, but it's going to be in the garage for a good chunk of the driving season, so to speak. So, you know, without going too much further down the automotive metaphors, you're going to need a backup. You're going to need a loaner. You're going to need a three, and you're going to need a four, because I think the answer is no. Like, I think Anthony Davis can get you a long way towards a championship, but injuries are random, and they seem to strike him randomly and more often than the average player. If that's going to happen, plan ahead. That's what we didn't do here, y'all. Our backup car is a Russell Westbrook, and the Westbrook has bad torque steer. It has a V12 engine and a V6 body, and it goes off the road often, sometimes in second and third gear, right? That's what you did. It's not a very well-planned team. I don't think it's harder than that. If you look at the way this team is built and how it's been built and how it's been managed, there are too many hands on the tiller.
There is, though, a real, like, bub-rub, whistle-goes-woo dynamic to Russell Westbrook's game, though, which I think I did find enticing before I realized that living in that neighborhood would be absolutely miserable, Izzy. Like, I thought it was... So Spencer's talking about, like, okay, how do you plan ahead? Did you guys notice what LeBron said after the Rams won the Super Bowl? Because I feel like LeBron was trying to plan ahead for this when he was like, seems like a great time for a three-way parade. We never celebrated our bubble title. Can we get in on this and the Dodgers can come too? It felt like LeBron was anticipating that this all might not go the way that, you know, Laker fans are dreaming about.
It felt like he was just reminding everybody. Like, it feels like this season is way worse than that bubble championship was good. You know what I mean? So it's like he's got to tell everybody, hey, I know it wasn't a bubble. I know it felt like forever ago because so many things. We won a championship. Stop killing me about this roster construction in particular. And it's fascinating to me watching LeBron go through this. Like, it feels like he's just kind of settled in here. It's just like, you know what? I'm just going to go try to get 30 a game, see what happens. Nobody's going to blame this on me, even if they go the GM LeBron route. And, you know, I'm going to coast from here. But the question about Anthony Davis, I think, just remains relevant going into next year. Like, are they going to shop him? Is somebody going to try to even bite on him and saying maybe his injury luck has run out? Because the one thing that you need next to this LeBron is a superstar in his prime. Okay, not Russell Westbrook. Anthony Davis is the guy in his prime. So if he can still be that, then sure. Sure, they can still win a championship, but I don't know if he can be on the floor for 80 games.
I mean,
so the question, go ahead.
I was just going to say that's the tragic thing is that this should have worked. This should have worked.
Yes.
Like on paper, like I don't think you look at it before any of this happens and you go, yeah, that's never going to work. No way. It sounded awesome. It totally sounded awesome on paper. And the real life results have just been lackluster.
Yeah, for all the skepticism I've always had about Russell Westbrook specifically and the way he has refused to change his game, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. The idea of LeBron and Anthony Davis as the formula, of course I'm all about that. Who wouldn't be? And it's worth noting, too, of course, that LeBron James did do LeBron James things in this game, right? He is the guy who is scoring most of his points in the fourth quarter still. He is the guy who is bringing this team to a win over a good Utah Jazz team. Yes, 15 of his 33 points to be specific in the fourth quarter to get that math straight. But I don't know, man. Like, if you're LeBron, like, what is your strategy, Izzy, for the rest of this regular season, right? Like, are you just going to go all out until you can't really be blamed for being tired anymore? Or my strategy,
if it was me, would just be to be in Anthony Davis's ear the entire time that this is happening, because people have doubted him. People don't believe he's on the same tier. People don't, like, the Giannis versus Anthony Davis discussion is not even a comparison. Like, they're on different tiers at this point. And so it's just, hey, it's a pride level. It's you need to carry us out of this. You are the guy who they're going to say without me was nothing. And then in the future, if you don't do anything without me again, they're going to say the same thing about you again. And so you need to change that narrative. You need to complete whatever it is we're going to do this season. If it's going to be a crazy turnaround or if it's just going to be you solidifying us at the end of the season to say, hey, we'll be good next year. That has to happen because LeBron's not going to be in a situation where he's like James Harden hopping from super team to super team. Like he's got business to do in Los Angeles. He doesn't want to go anywhere else. So something's going to have to make this work. And for him to say, okay, after choosing Russell Westbrook to play on my team, the next offseason I'm going to push to trade Anthony Davis, that's just going to create this whole other issue. And so I just think he's going to be in AD's ear and say, hey, it's on you. And frankly, I think that's the way fans are going to see it as well.
It's very interesting to me, Spencer. I'll just throw this in there. Like, it feels like Lakers management is also taking that approach because per Ramona Shelburne, they basically said, you guys fix this. This is your thing now. Like, LeBron, you wanted these guys. This is your team. We didn't make moves at the trade deadline. We're not going to make any real moves here on out. Like, if this goes any way but up, this is something that we, you know, like, no. This is on the players at this point is what the message has been.
Yeah, LeBron is amazing to me because, one, we're talking about this as a potential disaster. Well, what disaster hasn't he seen at this point with talented teams that are trying to make contention? Two, no one is better at managing the regular season load versus playoff surge better than LeBron. I have always appreciated how many 8-9 seasons have we done this where we go, well, man, LeBron's team's absolute trash. There's no way they're going to make it out. Like stumbling out of the gate, performing poorly. And then end of the season, they've cinched it up. I think that's the reason people continue to have the faith in him being able to sort this out because as de facto coach, GM, star player of this franchise, no one's more capable of doing that than him. And the third thing that I really admire here is this. He wanted cake. To go back, the parade, he saw somebody else with a balloon, and he wanted a balloon. This, to me, is a very identifiable reflex, urge, and instinct that he saw cake and was like, it'd be cool if I had cake, too. Could I have some cake? I love that.
Yeah.
Like that's to me, like, that is a innocent, childlike urge to go, well, you should invite me to the party. I'd get a party. I get a birthday present, too.
I just love...
I have a question.
Wait, Izzy, no, I just love on the cake and the let them eat cake, that dynamic of it. The fact that this title they won in the bubble was 2 years ago, right? Like, there was a champion last season. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go back 2 years? I mean, I guess the question, Izzy, I have is, at what point does the take cycle come all the way around to the idea that that bubble title was a fraud?
Oh, when do we get... I mean, Charlie tried to give to make me say that out loud yesterday, and I didn't quite get there. But if you just look at Anthony Davis's number in that bubble, seems a bit fraudulent. And this is the part that gets me. It's like I watch Giannis, and Giannis at this age, whatever, 26, 27, like still getting better, like shooting free throws at, 70%+ now, and is, you know, could lead the league in scoring. Anthony Davis, like, I think it's because he came in such a versatile player. Like, nobody ever said to him, hey, you've got to improve here, 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 and here, and just become even better. It just seemed like, oh, okay, just do what you do slightly better in every area. I think he could have room to improve his game. He should be able to do more in this scenario as the one guy who's in his prime. I don't know if a LeBron-led offense will allow him to do that, but just in terms of the player and the guy who wants to be great and wants to be the guy, like, you always see those improvements no matter how good you are. I don't know if we ever really saw those from Anthony.
Top 75 guy.
Couple of years.
Wasn't he voted a top 75 guy of all time
voted.
By the NBA? Right?
Voted.
No, I'm just saying, like, in terms of the expectation, that is all fair criticism from a guy who was, you know, one of those dudes, Spencer, who overnight in high school went from point guard to growth spurt to center and seemed to have all of this promise because we love those guys. We love a growth spurt guy. We really do. And he has not fulfilled that promise.
Everybody loves a good growth spurt.
So,
Alabaster,
if I may interject, I'm going to do a PTI impression for a second. I'm going to toss this one to Izzy. Toss up, fluky or bubble run, Anthony Davis or Tyler Hero?
I believe that is an easy answer. If you look at the season that Tyler Hero is having this year, it was just a taste of what was coming, not fluky whatsoever. So if I'm Mike Wilbon, I'm pounding on the obvious one, Anthony Davis.
That's right. Wow. That's right. No slander of Tyler Hero on this broadcast while I'm here. None.
Wait. Spencer, explain why you are also a Tyler Hero stan. And I wish I could say simp, but I can't do that because political correctness prevents me from saying it. But why are you a Tyler Hero stan?
Why wouldn't you be? Attitude. Swagger. Right? A shooter. In more ways than one. Okay? The man is going to try it. I this is exactly what you should be in your early 20s. If you go like, well, what should you be if you have $10, $20 million in the bank? Be Tyler Hero, right? Go for it. The man has complete gusto. Jimmy Butler has said for me what I can't say about why Tyler Hero is so cool. He's everything that you should be as his role in the NBA. None. No slander. I'll blame Anthony Davis all day long, even fraudulently.
And a lot of spit hit the fan with him between years one and two.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to come back this year the way he's been, doing it just the right way. And so, yeah, no Tyler Hero.
He's got a Teflon. Wow. He's got my favorite thing in an athlete, which is a Teflon brain. Stuff just runs out of it, right? Bad thing happens, whoop, right off the top.
It does feel like Anthony Davis thinks about stuff too much now that you bring it up. Tyler Hero is eternally on spring break. He's like a throwback to like MTV spring break also. He's living the spring break that I dreamed of having when I was a kid that I never clearly enjoyed. And now, yeah, Anthony Davis is like somehow miserable despite actually being a guy living the dream of winning a title.
By the way, can we just do this? Like, there's this comparison that we just made between Giannis and between Anthony Davis. I love that people in the NBA are so talented. We could be like, let's look at all of the different ways that Giannis hasn't learned how to play basketball yet. Go watch him play basketball! That would not be anyone's response to watching him play. No. But refined NBA minds, geniuses at analysis, can pick out things that he can't do. Like what? What do you want me to say he can't do? Same for Anthony Davis. Like, the gradations we're making here are like a hair apart from each other.
No. At some point, we decided that being 7 feet tall and unstoppable was not enough. Yeah. You needed to also do all the things that the guards did, even though, again, you are 7 feet tall and unstoppable.
Even though, like, it should be listed as a skill how many steps and or dribbles it takes you to get across the court.
Yeah.
Because Giannis can do that, I believe, in 2 dribbles and maybe 3 steps. And so that in itself is a skill that is worth watching, and most people do not have.
It's right. It's ridiculous. It's like somebody, it's like pulling up in a Ferrari and somebody in a Ford looking at it and going, you know, Lamborghini's better. They're both great!
Right. I feel like you're just setting up to give us some F1 information there, Spencer.
Oh, yeah, Spencer's been circling his F1 story for a very long time.
The brain.
Alabaster, I think, is intent on stopping that from happening, so
well,
what's up?
I just want to say that, you know, while there are small gradations between, you know, most 6'10", 6'11", basketball players with guard skills, as Pablo knows, that's not the case with all of them. Not all of them are useful basketball players.
Get out of here. Get out of here. Yeah. Yeah. That's, by the way, you are who I'm talking about. Yeah, I thank you. Thank you. This is why you're my number one hater, as previously established at the top of the show. What is next?
All right, we're moving on to Pablo's former bedfellow, the New York Knicks, who blew a 28-point lead. And our question is it already time to wonder if Tibbs is the right coach for Pablo's former team, the Knicks?
So I feel like I know that the answer to the question I'm going to ask is yes from Spencer, and I don't know if it's a yes from Izzy. But you guys remember that website where we would get to see the meals of death row inmates? You know, it's just like...
No.
It's just,
I do
you,
not.
You have not seen... Wow, that is... Now, okay.
Does that surprise you?
So basically, it does, Spencer, because there's a corner of the internet that was almost like part art project, part criminological investigation that showed what people would eat if they were facing capital punishment. And I feel like that website is how I think of Tom Thibodeau's lineups. Like, there is no future in his strategy. It is all present tense. Everything that he does with this team is about maximizing what is going to give him pleasure right now. And yes, it's an enormous problem because the Knicks just had, I think, and Izzy, like, back me up on this. I feel like as a nut punch loss goes, this might be number one as a regular season matter in, like, my memory. They blew a 28-point lead to the Nets, who didn't have Ben Simmons or Kyrie Irving or Kevin Durant. Cam Thomas came into MSG and ripped the larynx out of the entire organization.
Kevin Durant was sitting there cheering, and Kevin Durant, who's the one who said the Knicks aren't the cool thing anymore, and Kevin Durant convinced the Nets to draft Cam Thomas, I think, reportedly. So he had his hands all over this one. I don't know. I'm still trying to get over that website. Like, it's like food porn, but it's super sad because you know somebody's going to die afterward.
Yeah.
Like, that, I don't really, I'm not a fan. But yeah, I do think it's probably the punch to the third nut because they've done this a couple of times recently, right? They've got a punch, lost a 20-point lead twice. Is the third one in the
three
last 11
times
games, something like that?
In the last month?
Yeah, I don't know whether this becomes a Tibbs question though, because like he was the right coach last year, and there's only a few different pieces this year. So all of a sudden, what made him great for Julius Randle last year that's making him terrible this year? It's not like he's playing everybody 45 minutes a game or anything, and now all of a sudden they're falling off. They started off poorly, so I don't know if Tibbs is the problem.
Yeah, I would reverse the question and say, who is the right coach for the Knicks? Who is that? you got a magic bullet to put in that bench that's just going to fix everything? I don't think so. It's a bad organization. It's a bad organization, and they get bad results.
Kemba Walker was considered a big pickup this offseason, was it not?
Mm-hmm. I mean, by morons. Like, I mean, but look, okay, so the front office is a thing we should talk about in a second here, but the idea of who should be coaching the Knicks, I don't know the answer to that question specifically. I just know that it should be a person who sees this team as bad in the present tense. Tom Thibodeau is very delusional about what this team can do right now, and therefore he is playing the lottery picks he has on his roster. Cam Reddish, who they just traded for, and Obi Toppin, who they just drafted, a combined like 23 minutes in this game. Like, why is that happening? Why are you trying to grind down the ligaments, as he's wont to do, of the guys that made them a 41-31 team last year, as if that team is the team he has now? I just want somebody who's realistic about what they can do in the present tense, so that their future can be brighter. But speaking of the future and who assembled this team, I mean, this is incredible, right? And yes, Tom Thibodeau did win Coach of the Year 8 months ago after the Knicks earned the fourth seed. That is all fair. But the guy who has actually like been atop this entire organization is Leon Rose. Leon Rose, former CAA agent, the guy running the Knicks. You know how many interviews he has given in the last 500 and I believe 20 days? No, 570 days. The answer is one.
No, it's one.
He gave an interview on September 21st. That was the first one that he gave in 421 days. And he has not spoken since, which is, to me, a little conspicuous that the guy who's architected this whole thing doesn't ever take questions about what the hell they're actually trying to do.
No.
Especially since it's disturbing because it seems like the plan is waiting on Zion Williamson because they've got the other two Duke guys in Cam and RJ, and I don't know if Zion's ever going to play again. So even the long-term plans right now for the Knicks look pretty shaky.
I was going to say, that sounds perfect for the Knicks. That's great. We're waiting on a player who might not ever come back. Additionally, I think that's one press conference too many. If I'm GM of the Knicks, I'm going to wear a mask to work. I'm going to, like a mask.
The Kanye mask?
Like a Daft Punk mask. You're never seeing my face. You might know my name. That's one too many interviews. I think he's doing this absolutely right. Because if you're the GM of the Knicks, everybody hates you by default, like from the jump. And it's only going to get worse. So, yeah, that's one too many. I think he's doing it right. He should have no press conferences. Take no questions.
The saddest part
also... I think you're right, though. Go ahead, Pablo.
Oh, and I was just going to say, Izzy, the saddest part about the scene last night in terms of the people whose faces I did recognize courtside was immediately the game ends. It's a massive choke job, right? It's like the most brutal fourth quarter in, again, living Knicks memory as regular seasons go. And immediately the buzzer sounds, and there is Kevin Durant taking photos with like John Stewart and Tracy Morgan. They all love the guy. Kevin Durant was loving his life after being told, rightfully so, that no one cares about the Nets. He basically eminent domained the entirety of Madison Square Garden in one quarter.
And then, so you mentioned the young guys who aren't playing, like the Cam Reddish. I had John Collins tell me that Cam Reddish is the most talented person, athlete he's been around ever. And so that guy's got a lot of untapped potential there. It's mostly because he's just a freakish athlete and stuff like that. But yeah, not playing those guys isn't the smartest thing in the world, especially when you look at the other team and it's a rookie there lighting you up in Cam Thomas. And it's just like in New York, especially when, you know, the thing has gotten boring, it's dull, there's no more bing bong. That's when you need sort of a refreshing, right? A refreshing kick, something different. And like you look at other teams around the league who have been doing things with depleted rosters and then waiting for them to come back, and the Knicks just can't seem to get it together. So it could be a tips thing, but it just seems to be consistent with the Knicks that they just can't keep a good thing going for very long, at least not since Patrick Ewing.
Now also, Tibbs is like, there are no surprises here. This is exactly what you expected,
that
right?
Is fair.
Like, that's no surprises. You paid for this, right? You paid for this. This is what you were going to get. This is what you got. He has a hammer, and the hammer worked really well last year. And when things started getting really bad this year, guess what he used? A hammer. That's it. It's a single tool toolbox.
Tool in the bag.
Exactly. The only tool in the bag. And I respect it as somebody who only uses a hammer in most things in life. But it's not it's not going to get you two good NBA seasons in a row, particularly when the degree of difficulty for the job is this steep.
Yeah. Alabaster, I'm going to ask you a question. Are you proud of me that I didn't make a death row meal joke about the Zion thing?
I'm very proud. I'm also proud that you didn't go into reruns and start saying, I haven't actually looked up Bing Bong Guy. I hope he hasn't been Milkshake Duck. He might have been Milkshake Duck, but credit to me for not looking up Bing Bong Guy.
So I did look up Bing Bong Guy because I am true to my journalistic cliches, and he was going to release like an NFT today, which just seems like a very bad bit of timing.
Of course.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you for the update.
You're welcome.
And we're moving on to our third headline, which the Rams had their parade yesterday. And our question, if Aaron Donald and Sean McVay come back, could the Rams be even better next year?
I love making decisions in public when drunk, which seems to be what happened here. Like, is that the top line summary of this?
Yeah, I think so. There's an argument here, though, by the way, we didn't get the complete Rams team. this Rams team won a Super Bowl, and we didn't really see all of it because we didn't have Robert Woods at wide receiver, you know, in the game. We didn't have OBJ for most of the game, and they still managed to win. Aaron Donald is the fascinating part to me because I still think we underplay his impact on the game from a position that's very hard sometimes to quantify in terms of pressures. It's very easy to say a quarterback's valuable because we have this entire resume and the ball. The ball tells you a lot of a quarterback's value. It's going the right place. Anyone can see. A defensive tackle affects everything if that defensive tackle is Aaron Donald, right? He won the game. I am overjoyed for him because I feel like that finally puts like a cherry on top that lets everybody understand exactly how magnificent he is as a football player, because he ends up making the crucial sack at the end of the game, the pressure on Joe Burrow. And that to me, like, he could retire on top, but that to me is more meaningful than almost a championship for Donald, because it's his identity moment, right? It's the moment where we can finally say, I can sum up this player and how important he is, that from the defensive tackle spot, which traditionally is like being a bull in a herd for the entire game, right? Just one big stampede, hard to pick out. He was singular. He's singular at a position where very few people are singular. That, to me, is insane. They could be as good or better next year. That's mostly a matter of injury luck, going back to a theme today.
Real quick, Spence, you think he should have won MVP? I don't know if you I haven't chimed in on that.
Yeah, I think Aaron Donald could have won MVP like 5 out of the last 6 years. Why not? He's been that important. You know, when you're scheming things up, you know, there's a lot made of X's and O's. But if I could just take the middle of the field and go, yeah, don't worry about it. That's it, middle of the line. Don't worry about it. This is always a problem. I can scheme up coverages and pressures behind this guy because I know he's going to be getting double teamed, right? Like, simple math. I know that two are going to have to take one. I know that on some plays, and search Twitter and you'll find countless examples of this, sometimes it's 3-on-1. Sometimes they have 3 blockers on Aaron Donald, and it's almost not enough. So if you could do that, to me, there's nobody who compares in terms of value, because I'm saying that one player is worth 2 dudes. That's an MVP.
Did you hear? Did you see the tweet from? It was a photo of Aaron Donald and LeBron James, and it's LeBron James basically whispering, "Can you play the 5?" Because I think Aaron Donald can. I absolutely think Aaron Donald can. I don't know who that guy is, but that guy cannot.
Izzy, I also think that Aaron Donald could do the thing that we only joke about you doing, which is sit shirtless on a train track and actually stop the train.
Yep. Yeah. Without actually physical force, just intimidation.
I mean, look at that. But, like, how do you even explain, like, what is this? What is this part? What is this part of his body that he has developed?
Is he you and I can address this, right, as people who
Please.
Know about muscles?
Yes,
those are you
more so.
Those are highly developed traps. Correct, which are indicative of somebody who does a whole lot of strong pulling and strong pushing. That man can carry several wheelbarrows. That man could probably do farmer's walks with 600 pounds in each hand. He is a ridiculous athlete. And if you watch him play ping pong, he looks intimidating playing ping pong, if you've seen video of that.
I mean, he looks intimidating sitting there smiling and laughing, but I was just going to mention that this is what Bomani would say. He looks like a guy who says, "I don't know a lot." Right. Sits here and does this all the time.
But what he is, I mean, just to complete the picture of, like, his whole, like, alien aspect, like, it's funny because he is, despite everything you just said about the overdeveloped or properly developed, I don't want to be pejorative here, traps, he is undersized, right? Mm-hmm. Because he's 6'1", right? Like, that's the story of Aaron Donald, is that he's 6'1", but plays like, yes, he is Paul Bunyan.
Yeah, additionally, like, wasn't this not the heaviest dude in the world? Like, look at that.
Right.
Like, that is cut. He is not your standard old school, massive Tony Siragusa, you know, style big defensive tackle who's like,
no,
you
his
know,
PSI, his pressure per square inch is, yeah, pretty hot.
Yeah, it's
was this the most sort of undramatic, like, fake retiring or potential retirement from both Donald and McVay? Like, yeah, McVay's wife saying she's not retired. Did anybody think that a 36-year-old coach is going to retire?
No.
Well, but hold on, though. But this is where the, you know, drunk versus sober thoughts thing comes in, right? Because I'm curious why they felt that way. And I'm less curious about how good it feels at a parade in which you just won a championship and are drunk about why you might feel another way. Like, clearly there's something in them that understands that the job they're doing is not what they want to be doing for a super long time for Sean McVay. Maybe that's him negotiating, angling for more money, for more power, something else. I don't know. For TV, as we discussed, the thing that is so much easier to do and seems to be a career boost regardless. But for Aaron Donald, I just wonder, Spencer, given like what you just outlined about him, like maybe he's just like, this is a hard job. I feel like I've proven that I've dominated it as much as a human being could dominate it. Why do I need to do any more of this?
It is a peak that he could leave on. And like I said, I think that the title is one thing, but like for anyone watching him, seeing him be that guy at the end of the game was equally important. Everybody gets it. I've explained myself. I got a ton of money. But most importantly, I think it's sometimes important to think of football and exposure. Your exposure to football is only going to make you a achier, grumpier 50-year-old man. If you take the long version, you retire at 30. Right, that should be. There's nothing. And if I said, what else do you need to prove at the most brutal position, right, in football, right, which, of course, there are several really valid candidates for. But if you are that guy, why not retire? You've got enough cash, right? He doesn't seem to have an extravagant lifestyle, right? Like, you don't see him riding around in his own personal Zeppelin. Now, mind you, that's what I would do if I had the money. I would ride around in my own personal blimp. But that's because I'm an idiot. Aaron Donald does not appear to be an idiot. It would make sense to retire. If you said, by the way, come back for another season and then retire, that would make sense. If you'd said retire last year, that would make sense to me too. It always makes sense to retire from football. It really does. It really does. It's like it's a brutal, hard sport that is very, very stressful on your body. If you want to go today, if you want to go tomorrow, do it.
Calvin Johnson retired from football, Izzy, and then just started weed farming, which I feel like is the ultimate like post-retirement strategy, incidentally.
Yeah, some guys probably still doing it while they're playing. I think with Aaron Donald in L.A., I think it's pretty obvious he is the only AD in town, right? Like he has now taken over the AD nickname.
I mean, I don't think that it's possible to do to one of Aaron Donald's limbs what Anthony Davis accidentally did to one of his own. It just feels like his skeletal system is actually constructed in a different way.
I think
it's one of those guys in the gym where you just regret walking in that day because no matter what you do, you're just going to feel terrible about yourself. Like I could have been working for 5 years straight and feel like I haven't done a thing standing next to that guy, like picking up 100-pound dumbbells and doing shoulder press.
Hey, you know, I'm gonna give you credit though. Like you got better definition through the lats here, okay? Through the lat of
which one are the lats?
Or not the lats. Which one is lats the lat? Are back here. You've got better shoulder definition here, right?
So I mean, I had to eat like a caveman for a while to look like that, and I will again. I promise.
dream assignment, by the way, is that we take Aaron Donald. And we just go to like 4 or 5 random Gold's gyms, right? Like 4 or 5 random gyms around the country and just sit there and watch people watch him do a basic workout, right? Warming up, 135. Yeah. Then he puts like 605 on the bar and we just sit there and film people.
I'm in on that.
Gold's I am surprised.
I always avoided Gold's gyms too. It feels like the bigger guys always went to those.
Oh wait! Give me the hierarchy of gyms in terms of like where are the actual guys who know what they're doing? Where are they going? Because all of this is the same to me.
So is it Gold's is like classic meathead gym, right? Like classic.
Right. They don't know what they're doing, but they're there every day.
Yeah. No enthusiasm and build. No. Above that is your local terror box, like the horror show that is like some dark, like it has a name like Hell Box or something. And it's where like power lifters go and there's chains and they're playing death metal, right? There's some legitimately scary dudes who know what they're doing. And some of them walk in and you go, man, I bet that guy can't run 10 feet. And then you watch him like squat a truck. So that's like top
while
line,
listening
right?
To, like, scream
a lot of spines out of place in that box, but they're still powering through.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And I would say the LA Fitness is just kind of the casual. Right?
Yeah.
LA Fitness. I mean, you get some serious basketball players in an LA Fitness. Don't get a whole lot of serious weightlifters, especially. I mean, those are the ones where you see the people doing using the machines all wrong and getting all over the internet.
Mm-hmm. At bottom of the road, Planet Fitness. Okay, you're just trying to do work. You just want like a basic gym. That's cool. Okay, you're not going to see a whole lot of lifters because they don't like it when you drop the weights. There are countless like YouTube and TikTok videos of big brolic dudes rolling in and dropping weights in Planet Fitness and getting kicked out. Right? Like it's a thing to film. Yeah.
But you mean...
I go, Pablo. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, You know, I was going to say, you mean Planet Fitness, the place that advertises that they're a judgment-free zone, isn't the place where you find people who are really good at weightlifting?
That is correct.
Then there's like the little boutique gyms, which is what I go to with the personal trainer. And this is, you see the same people all the time. And the amazing part about this is 95% of these people never change. They somehow come to the gym all the time and their body shape never changes. And I'm just like, all right, you just pay to spend an hour here because nothing's changing. And like, it's mostly like older folks. And so I get, I'm sort of respectful of that. Hey, you go to the gym, but you have to have a goal, no? Because I know I don't want to just listen to my trainer yap for an hour.
You know what? Sometimes it's just about filling out the paperwork and writing a check and you feel good and you go, hey, I did that. Sometimes, by the way, too, as you get older, sometimes you go, hey, man, all I got's a Volvo. Never got a Ferrari, never got a Porsche for a body, right? To continue our automotive metaphors. Maybe I'm just okay with that. Maybe I got to work all day just to keep this Volvo running. So maybe that's what you're saying. You say they never change? That might be the best they can do.
Maybe. I've seen these new Hyundais coming out. I would buy one of those. Have you seen those?
Which ones?
Look a little old school, a classic. Oh. I don't know what they're called, actually. I probably shouldn't have brought it up.
You guys ready to play a game?
Yeah.
Right, I mean, I was learning a lot about cars and weightlifting, but yeah, I guess we can play a game.
All right, we're going to play a round of What Are the Chances? We'll show you a clip. You guys tell us the chances. First one. What are the chances Matthew Stafford is a Super Bowl Parade Hall of Famer?
Man, I mean, we should watch the evidence, right? Do we have the evidence to evaluate?
At the same time, I'm damn happy to be standing up here with you guys celebrating this. Come on. Let's go, y'all. I'm going to bring a little Southern hospitality to this. I appreciate y'all so much. You guys have been unbelievable. Unbelievable all year. And you know what? We appreciate you. Let's go.
Oh my!
He didn't have anything planned after you know what. He was trying to go off the cuff, and you know what? Yeah, I got nothing left.
I mean, as motivational speeches go, or as celebratory speeches go, like if you put that in a deposition sort of like transcript, it's not super impressive. But when you do the thing where you hold your drink up and you go, it does feel a little like, yeah, you're one of us. One of us.
I object to this so strongly that Tom Brady actually tried to give him drinking advice. If you're familiar with Matthew, he's the adult now. Matthew Stafford said that he, mix in a water, Matt. Okay, first of all, Tom, you went to Michigan. It's not part of the curriculum there. Matthew Stafford went to the University of Georgia. He's fine. He's fine. He needs no advice, okay? He's got some advanced Pedialyte treatment lined up, okay? Second of all, the tolerance, the resting tolerance, I guarantee you, it's a lot higher than Tom Brady's has ever been. Third, as an undergrad, there are famous pictures of him in the infield at, I believe, Talladega, holding up a keg over his head, okay? So there's a 100% chance that Matthew Stafford is a Super Bowl Parade Hall of Famer. And that's before we ever mention that he watched a photographer fall off the stage and then just ghosted the whole situation.
Thank you for bringing this up. It is a clip that we actually feel uncomfortable showing as a program because it's amazing. So we should describe it because there's a photographer. She is walking backwards. She's taking a photo. She falls off the stage. Matthew Stafford's wife, Kelly, is right there. Immediately concerned, goes to go reach for her. And you just watch Matthew Stafford in the state we just watched him in immediately go, nope, and then turn around and walk away.
The photographer isn't even completely fallen out of the screen yet. And Matt's like, nope. And he turns around and going the other way. And then you see his wife show concern.
Yes. So that lady, for the record, apparently had like broken part of her spine, but she is on Twitter. There is like a Patreon or GoFundMe, which I now feel obligated to contribute to as a program because we're talking about this. We will share that. But that is a real Matt move, Matthew. I thought that Matthew was above such things, but Matt, that feels like, this is like the, You can't try to Homer Simpson backwards walk your way into a hedge.
No.
While you're on national television surrounded by 50,000 cameras.
And he managed to.
Yeah, champion. But that championship behavior there. That the chivalry is chivalry's not dead. Chivalry is like 12 feet underground in that case.
I feel like that Charlie is just kind of trolling here with the Hall of Fame question with Matt Stafford, because I do have a higher threshold for Parade Hall of Fame.
No, good.
And so
good,
while I think Matthew Stafford will get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, I think this one he's got a little bit more to go. I mean, you got to talk. Who's the guy from Philly who came in full uniform?
Lane Johnson, wearing the Mario jester cap, right?
Yep. There's a lot more that he's got to do than just have a few drinks. I mean, Pat Riley did a crazy dance at a championship parade. Like, there's a lot more to get.
Jason Kelsey was the Eagle you're thinking
Kelsey,
of.
Kelsey, that's who it was. Kelsey.
Kelsey,
you.
Sorry to the Kelsey family. Jason Kelsey dressed up as that giant jester-type character. A Mushroom Kingdom guy. Obviously, J.R. Smith is just like, you know, I mean, he's sort of the bust at the front of the Hall of Fame, I think.
I think the continued days after championship minus shirt really elevate him there. I think that shirtless Vince Wilfork on a Patriots parade was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen.
The Braves bus driver going 80 miles per hour during the parade, he's in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, you got to do a lot more than have a few drinks.
Yeah, David Ortiz, this is my bleeping city, right? Like, civically, that's the first ballot moment. Stafford. So, I'm inclined to go, like, I don't know, 10% on this, Alabaster, for all of these reasons, Spencer.
I'm still going 100 just for the absolute callous behavior, just to go Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame doesn't necessarily indicate that it was good, but it was definitely significant.
9.9.
Yeah. Wow.
Harsh.
Alabaster, are you satisfied with how we handled a very legally touchy but also indisputably compelling viral moment from that parade?
Very proud of you guys. That showed growth. I will say, shout
Charlie's
out to Mark.
Nines look like giant commas.
They do. Terrible handwriting. I've said this before. I almost got held back in kindergarten because my handwriting was so bad. They thought I had a motor skill issue. But moving on. Next
and
one.
Look at you now.
That's right.
With a smartphone and doesn't have to write anything.
Who knew laptops would become, you know,
you're
so pervasive.
You're professionally handwriting on fake television. Eat it, kindergarten.
All right, so next one. We have more stuff from the Lakers or from the Rams parade. We have a tweet from LeBron, and our question is, what are the chances this was a shot at Lakers management?
So the tweet is...
So Les Snead is the GM of the Rams, and the shirt says, I believe, F them picks, right? Because he's going all in. This is a guy who also believes the present is the most important tense. Mm-hmm. And of course LeBron is subtweeting the guy that he actually does work for in Rob Pelinka. There's no way this isn't that.
I mean... Do they have any picks that they can even trade? Like, why? Yeah. Why is he? If you're saying that this is like a shot at management because management is going with the youth movement, that would make sense. But they're not, so I don't really get it.
Yeah. Additionally, by the way, this leads to my theory that like everybody in America is trying to flip a house, because that's essentially what the Rams did, right? Like the Rams in 3 to 4 years, you don't want to see that. You don't want to see what that particular cap payroll situation is going to look like. You don't want to think about all of the lost
picks. Laminate floors are going to be coming up in the corners. Like there's issues with the pipes everywhere. Probably didn't do the electrical properly. Yeah.
Property anywhere. Brothers are just going to walk into that thing shaking their heads, right? Chip and Joanna just like, yeah, we're going to demo all this. Got to demo all this. We got to put some shiplap over here, and we got to put a farm door over here because this is a mess.
Why is Eric Weddle's contract still inside this wall? Like, you guys just papered over this? Like, what's going on here? The LeBron aspect of this, though, like, it's also just funny because Les Snead wears a shirt with his own face on it with that phrase, which is, again, a move you can only pull off if you win a title. LeBron James, though, as the GM of this team, is also doing the thing of trying to pretend like he's not the GM of this team, which I think is just a brilliant bit of misdirection.
Well, he seems like he's just, you know, sort of trying to claim L.A. as his city after, what's it been, 3 years now? going on four. And, you know, he did the 305 to my city after playing in Miami this year. And people here were just like, your city? What are you talking about? And so Cleveland is clearly his. He can claim it. It's his forever. But L.A., I don't know. Do you guys feel like he's just like, I don't know, a third wheel? Kind of, does he just kind of forcing himself into the group here in L.A.? Or does he feel like an L.A. guy to you?
That's the most L.A. guy behavior possible. To show up, insinuate that you're an L.A. guy and clearly not actually be from L.A.
Yeah, I'm going to agree. I think also just showing up being real rich, right? Winning, which he did. You know, they did deliver that, even if Izzy thinks it's fraudulent. That, you know, the paper still clears, which, by the way, I would argue, right, in Los Angeles, that is also a total pattern, is to be like, well, I got a paper that says it. And you're like, well, technically this is true. I guess I have to grant you this $3 billion loan. Like, that is, to me, very Los Angeles at that. So, like, in the most negative way possible. Pablo is, of course, going to approach this like a snobbish Northeasterner. Like, that Los That's Angeles right. is this place devoid of culture and devoid mm-hmm. of actual connections. Which is completely wrong, because it is the only American metropolis that I know of that size, where you can go and eat quality food at a car wash. That to me is the height of – that is the pinnacle of civilization, okay? The only other city where you might be able to do that, like Houston and Miami, which again, both better cities than New York, okay? So
the automotive thing running through this show, I mean, mm-hmm. I have come to appreciate, Spencer, that there is a school of culinary appreciation that really does prioritize eating where there are also cars.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's multitasking, okay? I have to get my car washed. I might as well enjoy the delicious, I don't know, hot dogs, arepas, tacos. You have many choices. That's how good Los Angeles is, that you can get multiple types of cuisine while waiting to get your car washed. You can't do that in Lower Manhattan. You can't have a car in Lower Manhattan. That's un-American.
Three out of every five restaurant recommendations you get in L.A. are food trucks.
Correct. Right?
Because they're pretty darn good all over the place. Do you get to ride in the car while you're going through the car wash? Because I'm sold if that's the case. I get to eat in the car and ride in the car wash.
I think you should delete that comment, because I think you just made a delightful business plan that somebody would be willing to invest
in. That really is. Can you imagine, like,
hotboxing as much of a mess as you want inside the car, we'll clean it up.
And going through a car wash at the same time.
Yeah. Mm. See, this is a business plan, Izzy. Delete this. Nobody heard it.
Yeah. Although driving your car afterward would technically be illegal. But hey.
Also very LA to just come up with a business plan of grift and claim it as our own. Real quick question on the whole house flipping thing, because I am, like, very often getting served house flipping, like, strategy videos on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
This is a thing. This is a real thing that apparently has been going on throughout America that, again, as a Northeastern elite, I clearly have not been privy to.
Oh, listen, welcome. That home inspector TikTok, you got to get on home inspector TikTok, because there's some people who just have houses held together with, like, bubble gum and happy thoughts out there. That's what home inspector TikTok's taught me.
I also love guys building pools TikTok. It's amazing.
Are you saying the New York pool isn't enough for you? Like you know, the little bucket on top of a building that, like, eight people have their feet in, and they're like,
you mean,
life's a beach. It's crazy. Love this city.
Spencer, it's called a fire hydrant. How dare you?
That's my favorite. New York pool. Shouts out to Dances on Twitter, who introduced me to the cult of New York pools. You got 2 feet of water in a 6x8, like, trough somewhere up there, and there's 18 people standing in it, ankle deep, going, woo, love this life. Great.
I would object to this if I didn't own an inflatable pool about 6 years ago that my friend and I, when we lived in the East Village, inflated, filled with water, and then sat in on a patio. It was absolutely where I contracted skin infection.
Yeah. So. Izzy, glory in it. Gloat
in
it.
You see where I live. Like, come on. Like, I can only laugh at this. Like, I've never experienced that. Like, feet in a plastic pool on a rooftop? Mm-hmm. Get out of here.
Izzy, where are you, by the way? What is that background?
I don't know. You can ask Charlie. I'm in my bedroom.
That is your bedroom. Izzy lives on the beach, which you don't, yeah. Pablo, because you live in New York.
I don't. So 100% for all of us, I think. Mm-hmm. Alabaster,
0%. Not a shot at Lakers management. Just a random tweet from LeBron James. Nothing to see here.
I'm going 100.
Wow. Okay, expertly guys. Handwritten.
So... we're going to end on this. We're going to go to one tweet from our friend, Long Live the Queen, who actually said if Pablo were a car, he'd be a Nissan Nissan pickup truck, which I think is the only fitting place.
You know, if I knew that I was going to have to be seen on national fake television for months now in front of this truck, I wish I would have gotten in it once. Instead, no. I'm just the guy very casually leaning like a normal person who definitely has been inside of this truck before.
The most uncomfortable branding pairing I've ever seen or will ever see. Did you actually get in this truck, Pablo?
No, I wish I had. I would have taken a far... I mean, I don't know if... No, I was going to say I would have taken a far cooler photo, but I feel like if I had taken a photo riding inside of this pickup truck, it would have been used against me even more flagrantly. But no, unfortunately, I've never actually... I don't think I've ever sat in a pickup truck, ever, actually, now that I think about it. Which, what? Again, Nissan, if you're out there, please know that should not be held against me in future contractual negotiations for selling
have
Nissan.
Have you never trucks. Recruited a friend to help you move?
It's a U-Haul, bro. We rent U-Hauls. You guys got trucks.
So you've never been... This is on my list of Pablo Torre facts that I'm just adding to, right?
Yeah.
Never been in a pickup truck.
I think that's accurate. I don't think I've ever been in a pickup truck, no. Are they fun?
It's a truck. Fun is just a truck. There's nothing
Aren't
special.
Fun?
You just put your butt in it. That's all it is. You just put your butt on a seatbelt, maybe. You know, some places
so you don't feel more like The Rock.
No, no, not at all. And it's a lot harder to park.
Any footage of you running with that football? Because I think that might be more embarrassing.
Okay, that's unnecessary. That's unnecessary, Izzy. How dare you? How dare you?
All right, Pablo.
So I say yes. There is some footage out there.
I would be happy to put you behind the wheel of a truck. Just, it's not hard.
Really?
It's not an exotic experience. We can do this, okay? We can get you in a truck. We can get you with a 64-ounce beverage, and you can have that experience.
Would you let me honk the horn of your pickup truck, Spencer?
No. No. You don't get... No honking privileges for you.
It's just angling for a free Ford F-150.
Angling to get me into a fight.
In a pickup truck before.
Yeah. Angling to get me into a fight in traffic. Ugh. That's what you're doing.
Izzy, for the record... I've always thought your traps were impressive, you know. I know we said that Aaron Donald were better.
Whenever I need to feel good about myself, Pablo, I just call you and just get showered with compliments. So, thank you.
Yeah, check mine.